Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for Sunday in September. Who cares even? I was supposed to be working like an hour ago already. I'm so behind in my life.
Yeah, last week we had this done by 9 a.m. and now it's 9 a.m.
and I woke up at 8. So I fell asleep watching like a rotation of Yes Minister sitcoms from the 70s. Those British sitcoms where, and then Yes Prime Minister, they're really old.
I fell asleep praying.
They're super funny. You did not. You were watching Breaking Bad. You fell asleep praying. So today, because we're late and we're feeling touchy, we're going to complain about some people on the internet. We watched the Ents thing. We did watch the Ents thing.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, so apparently, I know this from watching French news, because the French treated it was like it was a real thing. They went like it was a summit and sent reporters, but apparently there was a global warming do in San Francisco, and the only people who knew about it were the Episcopalians and the French. So the French went to talk about global warming seriously, and the Episcopalians dressed up on stilts and like pasted leaves to themselves.
It's the Episcopal version. Well, I every once in a while videos will come out of the giant puppets. Of Doom.
Yeah, this is the Episcopal version of
the giant puppets of Doom are these liturgical puppets, and if you do,
I know.
They're, for some reason, someone, I guess it was in the 80s probably.
No,
90s.
I think it was a lot more recent than that, probably early
decided 2000s. That it would be a good idea to include enormous puppets in the worship service. Now, not puppets like a puppet show for kids, but like
stilts, like a person dressed up on
a person, yes, with a big huge mask who processes into the church during the procession, and I'm not sure what the purpose of the puppets are.
Do you want to call it a church, or do you want to say like a random gathering of people? what in former times would have been known as a church, but now is something that who even knows what it is?
Well, do you know what the puppets are supposed to do, or what they're supposed to?
I don't know, but
it's just,
if you pan across the audience in that one, there's like one young man in his teens who looks like he's gonna die, and then there's a lot of people, gray-haired people swaying.
Yeah, like, yeah, it was sort of hippie-ish. The boomers were loving it, the puppet thing, and the same. You know, if you go to a church where in the procession there is often the spirit flags. The big, huge, massive flags with the streamers on the top of them, then more than likely you've probably seen a puppet.
You've probably seen a puppet somewhere in your life.
In your procession. That's just probably, they go together.
Yeah.
So anyway, this cathedral, is it Grace Cathedral in San Francisco?
Yeah, I think the Beyonce Cathedral. Okay, I watched the Beyonce Mass. I was super disappointed. I thought Beyonce was going to be there, and then it just turned out that they like
played Beyonce music,
some of her music on a big screen, so, and she wasn't there, and they didn't worship her. I mean, I don't know who they were worshiping, but
I'm sure that everyone listening has heard of the U2Christ, which just causes masses of people to stream into the Episcopal Church. I mean, they're just overwhelmed with numbers of people because they decided to use U2 music
in their liturgy. They still haven't found what they're looking for. They still haven't found. So they
moved on to Beyonce.
And then they went for the Ents.
Right. I think it's Beyonce is a image of female empowerment because she takes off lots of her clothes and dances in sexually alluring ways. Just like, I mean, so no one's thinking of anything but female empowerment at that point. Everyone's thinking, you know, I should go and pay my female employees more money now.
I love stronger women. Yeah, so we were gonna play the Ents thing, but it turns out it's silent, and it goes by really fast. So you're gonna have to Google
it. Yeah, you
have
to Google it. We can provide live commentary. We can, like we're watching.
Oh, like we're watching it.
Yeah, we could.
You want to do that?
Oh, we were asked to do it by one of our few listeners. We should not disappoint the listener who. So I guess.
Well, they walk.
The video
in.
Is a profession. Is a procession. Let's just.
Do you have
play
it?
I thought I had it. Do I not have it? You must have it.
We have to log into Facebook.
See how prepared we are. We have all this ready to go.
Oh, I must log in first. I can't watch this.
Weren't you just watching it?
I did, but I watched it on Twitter, and now I have to find it again. So I have to go to my notifications. Oh, here it is. Okay. Here we go. So,
All right, so the video starts with... Okay, stop. There's a verger. Now stop, we should explain what this is.
What is a verger?
So if you're watching...
Oopsie.
The video that Anne will link, you're going to see a guy walk in with a big, huge staff.
Well, that's a bishop.
Well, no. Before, there was a verger.
Okay. Okay, that's, yeah, he's in black.
He's in black, and he looks like he stepped out of, like... Harry Potter or something. He's got the Harry Potter shield on his...
Because that's what vergers wear. They wear the Harry Potter shield.
And he's got this huge staff with a ball on the top of it. And that's usually I guess traditionally, wasn't it to hit people with?
The acolytes.
To whack the acolytes to tell them to keep in order.
Mm-hmm.
And then behind him, there are the...
Everybody's wearing a cope.
We should do this for...
I'm pretty sure that not everybody needs to wear a cope.
Right. Well, look... Okay, stop.
One, two, three. There's four people wearing copes.
Evangel, we need to explain what these things
and
are.
And they're all women.
Okay, a cope is the big cape. That's what a cope is. So, I wear one... I know. I shouldn't admit that, but... I
you
wear one on Christmas
really
and
like
Easter.
It. You
yeah,
love your...
It looks like Darth Vader, except with a white coat.
Yours
a white
has
cape,
gold,
yeah.
gold on
yeah.
it, which you also like. I think you should admit that on the internet.
Yeah, well, all of my reform people are throwing up in their mouths. So there's three women.
There was a man.
There was a man.
I don't understand why they all have to wear it, though, because usually the celebrant and you wear
yeah.
it. And you'll
look how full the seats are behind
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I mean, it's incredibly
very
packed.
Very empty room.
But then in the distance, they're walking in, you can see.
How few
you can
people
see,
there
you
are.
You can see a tree, though. But
oh, yeah. Okay.
What looks like the tree.
It's on stilts. It's a tree
it's a
on stilts.
And followed by, is it a Muslim woman?
Woman?
Okay.
And then the bishop also
right.
in coat.
But
then
there's more trees. Look, in
one,
the back,
two.
More trees are coming in.
And then they pan. They shouldn't do this because the.
And it's silent. It's
really
a silent procession. It must be solemn. The solemn march of the Ents.
And that's it.
So I'm. What do you think is being communicated by the Ent walk? And Ent is, if you know, read Lord of the Rings if you know what that is. But what's being communicated by the Ent walk here?
Why are you asking me?
I just want to know what they're.
I mean,
what
like, how on earth would
so
I know?
If I go to that cathedral as someone who. Really enjoys spraying hairspray into the atmosphere and burning plastic in my fireplace.
Are you gonna feel
am I suddenly gonna feel you know
convicted by the Ent?
I came in here hating the environment and wanting to make sure that all people grow up drinking unclean water and breathing poisonous air, but when I saw the walking Ent, my heart was strangely moved.
And you gave your life over to, I don't know, not Jesus, but like,
lowering our carbon footprint.
You asked the environment into your heart. You invited the.
Yeah, I just can't think of it. I mean, I love the outdoors. I love trees. I love grass. I like
but
to
not
go
so
hiking.
Much that you ever want to go camping with me.
Yeah, and I don't like to see trash in the woods. I mean, I think we should not throw trash in the woods. And I don't like to see the planet being abused. That's all good and right. But, oh, man, people get so crazy about this thing.
I didn't know we were going to bash environmentalism right now.
I thought that was the whole point.
I thought we were just talking about the ants.
But, you know...
Well, it's true. If you're looking for meaning in your life and you don't really don't want to be bothered with Jesus, like, you can
worship Gaia.
Worship Gaia. So that's fine. And the French will be there for you with their...
And just for the record, cheese. I don't believe that we have anything to do with climate change.
Really? Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
No. It's a myth. And it's being promoted so that we will stop. It's a ploy by socialists to grab control of the means of production. That's what it is.
Okay.
To regulate businesses out of it.
Plus, you're really science-y. You know lots about science.
I do. If I weren't a pastor, I'd probably be a chemist or a biologist or something like that. Something involving lots of math and reading science books.
Yeah. Okay, can we move on to our... I thought we were our home builder. I thought we were talking about the foolish things that Christians do.
Is that the theme today?
Yeah.
Isn't that the theme every day?
So, yeah, that's the meme of our podcast. Stupid things that other Christians do.
If only they were more like us.
Yes. Okay, so I think we should move on to the men's conference at James River Church.
I'm not sure what denomination this is. My guess is it would be non-denominational, which means Baptist, but I can't tell.
And it's, so the room is dark. It's a conference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like the ones that women go to. So what was it? Lame gimmicky conference. What's it called? Pyrotechnics. Not just for women anymore.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, the room is dark. Go ahead.
Lenny, I said the red wire. Make sure you cut.
Flip the red wire.
Sorry, Mission Impossible.
I got it.
It's Mission Impossible. That's what they're
is that
they're,
what it is?
They're playing off of. So the beginning of the conference has to be a Mission Impossible
theme,
right? So you have a big huge screen with people talking about which wire to cut in order to avoid making everything explode. So yeah, and then come the lights and the music. And then the shooting of the weapons.
Okay, so this is
Mission Impossible. Remember Tom Cruise?
Don't say remember. I have no idea what you're talking about.
he tries to steal something, and he's lowered down on wire, right? So here are these three men. They're lowered down on wires, but they have weapons, and they're shooting in the air. This is in a church. This is in a...
No, I'm sure it's not a church. It looks like a big venue. It's like a stadium of some kind.
It's
a church.
That's a church thing, right?
But...
I think it's a church.
It could be like a big conference venue. It's probably like a big...
But
it's a conference.
The light show here is like... It's professionally done. It's like what you might expect at the beginning of a hard rock.
The background is green, though, which recalls to me the sense of environmentalism that we were just having. And what I think would be really funny is if these guys lowered down on their ropes into Grace Episcopal Cathedral... shooting their firework guns.
We don't have anything like this.
Freaking out all of the the peace-loving environmentalists in. Like, it would be really great if you could do a mashup here.
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't mind so much to have something like this interrupt the Ents.
Yeah, I think that would be really funny. Okay.
Okay.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
Jesus.
That's what I was about to say. Whenever I think of Mission Impossible, I think of Jesus. Right?
On the cross?
Right, yeah. See, it's a cruciform theme.
No, it's not cruciform anymore. What is it? I can't remember. But they joined cruciform to another word. That's an Anvos Camp thing. Okay, go on.
Now it's dark again.
Max, are you in position?
I'm almost there.
Now
the laser light shows. It's going everywhere. And more video.
Great. Let's move.
Here goes nothing.
Remember, Don't touch the lasers. I'll set this whole place
These must be the pastors or the people on the conference who are starring in the show, yeah. And now they've got to have a guy climbing up a rope, and he's got to avoid these lasers because that will set off the alarm and do something. Maybe it is, like, if you touch the lasers, you go to hell or something. Or something for theological.
Do you think
weird.
It's like a theological, spiritual rope climbing?
Symbolic of the Christian life, where we must avoid the lines of wickedness, the laser lights of wickedness. And by our own efforts, scale up into the heavens. My goodness.
So when I was tweeting, I thought it would be really awesome if you were there in the back with your arms folded, looking angry, because that would complete
this
the picture.
This would make me angry, yes. Yeah. This would make me. Now the big explosions. Everything's exploding.
Firework.
These are explosions.
Six seconds to push this button before it explodes. Let's go.
Now he pushes.
That's red.
Now comes the now motorcycle. Look, the motorcycles are coming in into the venue.
They're riding.
Yeah. I'm not sure. So apparently they had to climb up the ropes through the laser lights in order for the
fire.
The motorcycles to be able to come into the venue. They made it possible for motorcycles, I think.
So you think the motorcycles...
Wow. Now...
Do you think that the motorcycles and the laser rope climbing are
connected.
Joined?
Yeah, they're connected in some way. And the crowd goes wild. This is obviously a successful men's conference opening.
What are they doing now? These lights
comes,
are flashing.
Now comes the heavy metal.
Oh, what?
You can't have a men's conference without heavy metal, right?
You can't?
No, you gotta have the... So here it comes, dude. I'm gonna tell you.
Why are they... Oh my gosh.
I think that's...
Oh, that is so awful.
It sounds like the beginning of Iron Man by Black Sabbath. Now,
I feel like you should move it away because it's too loud and the people...
I am Iron Man. That's Black Sabbath, I think. I think they're playing Black Sabbath at a men's conference. Is that Black Sabbath?
How would I know? I don't know what Black Sabbath is.
That's Ozzy Osbourne's first band that he is...
Oh my gosh. This is so... I'm so embarrassed and humiliated as I watch this. And now there are other lights.
Okay.
Can you stop it? No, don't stop it.
It's not Black Sabbath.
Oh, thank goodness.
Okay,
it's
well,
over.
It wasn't Black Sabbath. I'm glad about that.
Oh my gosh, that was awful.
So, what does that say about.
What? Why are you asking questions?
That nothing like that happens at men's Bible study on Friday morning at 6:30 a.m.
Oh my word.
I wonder if we'd get a bigger crowd if we did that, though. What?
Where did they get all these people to go to this?
Well, it's that whole thing, it goes all the way back to Finneyism, Finneyistic revivalism, right? You got to have the gimmick to get the people in.
Did Charles Finney have gimmicks?
Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, he was screaming at people.
The tent meetings, the revivalistic kind of idea of you got to get the music going and the heart pounding and pumping and then people will be brought into the emotional place where you can kind of slip in the gospel.
I feel emotional after watching that, but like not the kind of emotion that would make me desire in any way to be a Christian ever.
It's so stereotypical.
Yeah, it's like a Babylon Bee.
Because men are too stupid.
Yeah.
To be able to sit through a conference where someone gets up and opens the Bible and works through a text or who talks about a conference, you can do topical stuff. You can talk about actual interesting topics besides,
like the dual natures of Christ.
Yeah. But, it goes back to this whole, I think Finneyism is part of it. You know, you got to have the show, because if you don't have the show, they won't come. But the problem is, of course, when you have the show, they're going to always expect the show. So if you get people into your church by having a laser light show and a smog machine.
A smog machine. It's not a smog. Well, that's for the ants. Yeah. We're bringing in smog. Chinese smog.
A smog machine. Then that's what you got to do every week. And you got to keep up with technology. Because if you're trying to look like a secular concert, that's going to be expensive. You got to have the right sound equipment. You got
to
have
That was in that list of things of ways for you to know your church is a failure if you're like your sound equipment is out of date. Remember that? There were like 7 things that you need to fix so your church isn't so average.
Right.
And they were the website and the late show.
Right.
What?
And, well, okay, so Finneas is part of it, but also that book Wild at Heart that came out.
I didn't read Wild at Heart. Don't ask me if I remember it.
I remember the book.
Did you read
it?
No,
I didn't read it. But I read, well, I take that back. I think I read it. It was back in...
You read Wild at Heart.
This is back in the 90s, I think, when it came out. But that was like how, like, Christian men need to be, like, grow some hair on their chest. and you know, okay, so I agree in some respect, because when we came to in Episcopal circles, there can be too much lace and doilies, and you've got to... Men just flee like...
rats from a
right when women get in charge of everything in a church, that does make men go away, I think. But
aesthetically, I assume you mean.
Yeah, well, if there's just too much like visiting auntie's house when you go to church, then yes, men will go away.
Yeah, there should be some sort of.
But that doesn't mean laser
neutrality.
Light show and and like, explosions.
Yeah.
Right, so there's a.
There could be a balance, but. Or why would it have to go either way? Why couldn't you just go to church and I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. The assumption the you can't. You men are too stupid. Men are too base to come to a place where other men might be opening the Bible and explaining it to them. They need to have explosions and motorcycles, the rock music, and only then will church be something they want to go to.
Okay, I would like to now bash on women, though, because women are also stupid. There's equal opportunity stupidity, so can we do this? I have not read Girl, Wash Your Face. Rachel Hollis.
Hollis, right.
I haven't read the articles either that people have sent me, which I should read.
You'll be happy to know that she's LGBTQIV, whatever, friendly.
I wrote Girl, Wash Your Face as the answer to a question. It was the idea that I get this question over and over and over in a million different ways with a million different stories attached to them. Women from all over the world who are asking...
I've never heard of this person. Okay, so women from all over the world are actually writing Rachel. Rachel, help me. I've got children and I'm overwhelmed. Rachel, help me.
You're only help.
People from all over the world are actually writing you letters. Rachel Hollis, I've never met you. And
yeah, it's
never
interesting. Heard of you. Like, we are not, we need to be more up to date, because this person is a New York Times bestseller and we've only just
heard of
her now.
But she's talking before people wrote her, like, before she wrote her book.
That's what I'm saying. She has a platform.
Before she wrote her book, people were writing her from all over the country.
Yeah.
Women. Young women. Rachel, help me.
So, but... Also, her nails are pretty gorgeous, and she's wearing a beautiful green necklace. So that's very important.
What does the title, Wash Your Face, mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
I think it means, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, get up, wash your face, do something with your life. Don't be a victim.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
All right, so...
asking me how to... How do I get back up when I've fallen? How do I make real change in my life? How do I get past this trauma? How do I start all over again? How do I raise these babies? How do you navigate mom guilt? All of these...
Okay, I'm sorry, but the Bible doesn't tell you how to navigate mom guilt. Like, so of course you have to go to Rachel Hollis, because the Christian life isn't a how-to life. Like, it's not practical.
I think the Bible does tell you how to navigate mom guilt.
Oh, okay. Let's just pause there, because I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I would like to cash in on the mom guilt thing. I can do guilt with the best of them.
You don't feel like you're being a good enough mother because you're not doing all the stuff in the mommy blogs. Is that big?
Oh, I don't know. But apparently, like, it's a catchphrase now, so how did I miss that? Mom guilt. Hashtag mom guilt? Like, I have guilt. I would like a piece of this financial pie with my guilt. I can tell you how to deal with your guilt.
Because
I have it. I've probably walked through it. I've probably come out on the other side. I think that's...
But the title's already taken.
So on your book, YouTube. Called, yeah.
Girl, wash your hands.
No. Wash girl, those take dishes. A
bath. Bathe your children.
Girl. Yeah. And why do we have to be called girl? I'd rather be called late church lady. Wash those church dishes. How get yourself lady, back in the church kitchen?
Lady,
and
wash those dishes.
Lady, wash those dishes. Nobody else is gonna do it. So if you don't get in there, should we go on? Okay.
Questions which essentially boiled down to the same answer for me that I was unable to give, because if you're getting hundreds and hundreds of notes from people, the only way you can possibly write back to them fast enough is if you give more generic answers. So I would say, and maybe some of you have even gotten these notes from me, I would say, you're a warrior. You're so strong. You can do anything.
Man, you're a warrior. You're so strong.
If I would have known, you can do anything. If all that you needed when you felt mom guilt was for me to say, Anne, you are a warrior. You can do anything you put your mind
to. If you ever said that to me, I would punch you in the face.
Well, that's because you're a warrior. You,
yeah. Oh, yes.
That's because, Anne, you're a warrior.
And that's what warriors do. They punch other people.
Now go beat your children.
No. Yeah, like, where does the warrior motif come in? Because it doesn't fit in with the Ents. It's more Mission Impossible. So I'm gathering that, like, evangelicals prefer this sort of war option. And I mean, Episcopalians love them their peace. And, you're a warrior.
There does seem to be, like, something in the Bible about how to deal with guilt. Don't you think that there's something in the Bible about that?
You're not supposed to feel guilty for things that you didn't actually do wrong. So you should feel guilty when you feel guilty. That's what the Bible says. So when it says don't be anxious about anything, that's an invitation to feel bad about your anxiety. That's how the Bible works.
So it's just a bunch of what not to do's.
Yeah. Don't be anxious. And if you feel
guilty... I just think there's something else about guilt there in the Bible. Like in the New Testament and the Old Testament, both about like what to do with it. I can't...
No, I know. I can't remember because I haven't heard the Bible read out loud on YouTube in like a long time.
Well, I guess God so loved the world that he sent...
No, but
Rachel Hollis to tell us how to deal with our mom guilt.
And is the mom guilt like a fair guilt?
Is that like a good thing
to feel
guilty
about in your life?
Well, if you've not been a good... Yeah. I mean, I've not been a good father at times. I've been... I've ignored my children.
Has it risen to the level of sin?
Yeah, I don't love my children as I ought. And I don't love you as I ought. And you don't love me as you ought. You know, so, yes.
I love you as I ought. It's you that don't love me. I think we established that daily.
To confess your sins of not loving me and your children rightly, and then hear the proclamation that you are in fact forgiven by Jesus, who's done all the perfect things that you can't do.
That's not the gospel. The gospel is love God and love your neighbor, and we know that because Jesus distilled the whole law down to love God and love your neighbor, and he said it to the rich young ruler like it was this special treat. And as you know from reading the text, the rich young ruler went away saved because he had literally been loving God and his neighbor
since he was a child. He had always done that.
And so that's the gospel. And so you need to love God and your neighbor. And I think as we're seeing with Rachel Hollis here, you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. And when you've properly loved yourself, you will be saved.
Because you are a mighty warrior.
You are a mighty warrior.
That's the gospel.
Should we go Amen. On? Amen.
Well, we should say one more thing, because I think she's the one. I'm not sure if she's the one, but who talking about this love God, love your neighbor, it's the gospel. You know, Jesus says that on those two laws hang all the laws and the prophets. And
yeah, and I love how the word law actually sort of means gospel. Like, if you take the word law,
it and actually you means miss, good news.
And you
good you news. You have to love God perfectly. Good news. You get to pour yourself out in doing good for others, and then you you better do that. Good news.
Good news. You on Gellion, whatever. So Jesus takes the word law.
What Jesus means, though, is that every law in the old under the old covenant and every law in the new covenant that have to do with moral or living your life can be summed up by love your neighbor as yourself or love God. So, if the law against adultery, for example, hangs on love God, love your neighbor as yourself, so you wouldn't commit adultery on your neighbor who is your wife. Or take another person's wife if you love your neighbor. So all the laws are summed up in those, okay? They're not, but the progressive wants to take love your neighbor and say, that's all the law is. So you don't have to, if I just love you, it doesn't matter whether I commit adultery do all the other bad things
because
I feel a lot of love for you.
Yeah.
And so they've made it a feeling. So if you feel love for God and feel love for your neighbor, then it's totally okay to do whatever you want. I think she's on that.
Shall I go on?
Yeah.
But I realize over a certain period of time that I wasn't saying what I wanted to say.
I think we've first of all, helpful redefinition of law as gospel, but also I think we're going to be disappointed because she's not going to actually mention the word God anywhere in here. The main word is going to be
So I really tried to write a book that would be an answer, that would be the answer I would give you if you were my friend. Or if you were me at 20 or 25 or 30. And that is, you have the power to change your own life. Stop reaching out to a chick on the internet to answer questions for you. You know the answers.
Yeah.
I'm sure she doesn't mean that, because if they stopped reaching out to her, she would not be a New York Times bestseller. So exactly. Let's just take that off the table.
Exactly.
The whole thing only works if desperate people reach out to chicks on the internet. That's how our whole social economy, social media economy works. That's how it's driven. And if you stop being needy and then going and buying her books and her podcast, it's not going
to
be cool.
Well, the most important thing is that reaching out to someone else isn't the answer. You have the answer within you. You have it.
But you are going to have to unlock it by reading her book.
Yeah.
You have the tools. It's like Dorothy and the Ruby Slippers. You have always had the power to change Dorothy your life.
Which is another way of talking about the cross. Like Jesus.
We're seeing cruciform images everywhere.
Took his slippers and he put on his leaves and his ant costume. And then he was lifted high up on his wire. And then he avoided the lasers. Okay.
You just need to own that. I thought if I wrote this book where I told you all of the stories about the times that I had struggled, where I didn't know, where I was confused, where I had fallen, where I made mistakes, if I showed you my
and then repented
path,
and went to the cross,
it would give you courage
for forgiveness.
To start walking down yours with purpose. I refuse.
That's important.
To watch you wallow.
To walk with purpose.
I am a tough.
You know how she can refuse to watch you wallow is by not having to be with you, because she just takes the money when you buy her book, and she literally doesn't know
you. We should send her videos of us wallowing.
So she can't refuse anymore. I refuse for you to refuse to watch me wallow. You will watch me wallow.
Love kind of person. In fact, most people will not come to me with a problem if they don't want a kick in the pants. You know, the most powerful words in the English language are me too. And I
wait, really? The most powerful words in the English language are me too. You know what that reminds me of? There was an old Richard Scarry book that there was Pig Will and Pig Won't. And Pig Will would agree to sweep the floor when his mother asked him, and Pig Won't wouldn't sweep the floor. And Pig Will went to work on the boats in the boatyard, and Pig won't wouldn't. And so Pig Will got to have ice cream, and Pig won't got nothing. And then at the end of the story, the Pig won't becomes Pig Me Too. It's powerful.
The most
words.
Powerful language word okay. in the.
I have built a platform on language. The idea of Me Too. I've built a platform on the idea that I'll go first. I will raise my hand and talk about postpartum depression and abusing alcohol and struggles in my marriage and how hard it is to raise kids and body shaming and abuse and neglect and childhood trauma. I will raise my hand and I will be the first person that tells you that it happened to me. And not only did it happen to me, but that I've walked through it and I'm on the other side.
Wow, she's like,
because I hope
she's Jesus.
Wait. I just want to, like, putting humor aside here, this person is perfectly coiffed. She's got, like, the perfect hair. She's got the perfect, you know, wood background. What is that? Shiplap or something. Like, she's got the light blue couch. She's the couch and her necklace match. She's got professional lighting and the music. So this is like a well monetized thing that we have going on here. She's going first. And that's really helpful because by going first, she's going to get all the money for going first. Like, so, I mean, I'm the cynic in me. When you're monetizing Me Too, I'm repulsed by that, actually. Pseudo-Christians, I don't know if she's a professing Christian.
I don't think she
Christian.
Means Me Too, like, the way that the sexual stuff,
it's
though.
Coming like... out in the Me Too time.
Yeah.
Like, Me Too means something. This video came out, let's see, when can we... It was, okay, December 17, 2017. When did
I'm not sure Me Too was going on then, was it? That was like 2 years ago.
Okay, but the things she's just listed, abuse,
are part of it.
That's wrapped up in it. Okay, so the idea of Me Too is that you join together, you have strength, you gather strength from knowing that other people have suffered in a terrible way. Okay, I think the Me Too movement has been fascinating because it is true for quite a long time. If Harvey Weinstein was abusing you and you complained about it, nothing happened. Suddenly, now, in 2018, you could say, I was really used very ill by that man, and people would believe you. That's, and do something about it. That's extraordinary. Okay. It's a troubled movement, right? It's not a Christian movement. Christians have joined in with it, but it's at its heart a secular movement, a correction against a culture of sexual promiscuity where you couldn't you can have free sex, right? This is a way big correction on that. You don't get free sex.
Right.
But this person, and a lot of Christians, I mean, I've seen her linked by Christians, she's getting, you know, a buck from that. Are you watching?
That was false. But
So, this is really cynical, I think.
Yeah, I just don't know that she... I guess it depends on when the Me Too thing started, I guess.
No, but even so, she's monetizing her experience and offering herself as the strength that you need to get up another day. And that's
true.
That's
She's putting herself out there as a savior.
Yeah.
As a savior for women.
Yeah, you model your life on me.
I'll walk the path. You follow my path. I'm going to blaze it for you. And if you're having trouble, you come to me. All you who are weary and labor.
And heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So the, you know, the Jen Hatmakers of the world are saying you should at least imitate Jesus. So, but we don't have to even do that. We can imitate Rachel Hollis, and that's really cynical.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope it gives you the courage to do the same. I hope that when you hear my stories and when you read the things in these books, it makes you feel not so alone. So that's why I wrote the book. And I hope you want to read it.
And there you are. It's called Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. And it's done very, very well. So thousands of American women have bought this book and are finding help from it.
You should get it and review it on your blog.
I mean, I didn't make it through the year of biblical womanhood. I've still got that sitting here. And I made it mostly through Jesus Calling. I mean, I suppose I could. I want chocolate because I've read For the Love by Jen Hatmaker, and I have read Of Mess and Moxie by Jen Hatmaker, and I have listened to probably 20 hours of Jen Hatmaker podcasting. And when I posted on Twitter and said I want to post meanly, please, I hope Jesus is noticing that I'm not doing it, I realized at the time that everybody was posting on Twitter about Brett Kavanaugh. But I was thinking of Jen Hatmaker, so I wasn't going to post meanly about anybody associated with Brett Kavanaugh one way or the other. I was in a different headspace. Which, just so you know, sin is being in the wrong headspace. You get your head straight, and then you're going to be able to love God and your neighbor the way you should.
Is this Rachel
Jen Hatmaker. Headspace.
Really? This is all about your attitude.
Yes. With enough knowledge, or the stories of Rachel Hollis, and enough being, you know, tricking your mind into the right, or as some people say, having systems so good that nobody, so perfect nobody ever had to be good again. It's just a crock.
So human beings are such a good nature that it's just a matter of right thinking. And if we can just get our heads straight, of course our beautiful souls will follow
we'll
shine through. Right, because that's who we are.
Yeah.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. Yeah, it's so awful. So I all this Jen Hatmaker stuff is like killing me. But I'm almost done.
You've almost done. You have almost done the full study of the works of Jen Hatmaker.
And what do I get? What do I get?
I mean, have you done the study? Have you read?
I have
the study of any other.
Like I haven't. I mean, no.
Have you studied Luther's works?
No.
And Augustine's works, but you have done the full body, the full canon Jen Hatmaker.
And you know what? I'm smaller. I'm stupider. I'm more broken. I'm depressed. I'm like, I'm a shell of my former self. I feel like sticking leaves all over myself and walking on stilts.
I wonder if we should.
We should make our children do that for Halloween.
be liturgical puppets.
For Halloween this year, you guys. You get to be liturgical puppets. No, I think after this, I should study something real. I've actually downloaded some Augustine and some Dante onto my Audible app so that I can like cleanse myself from this time of horror that I've had. This vapid, shallow.
What is it about these women that make other women buy their books?
That's the part that I'm just not getting. Because when I am reading Jen Hatmaker and listening to her, or listening to this little video by Rachel Hollis, I want to die. Like, it makes me sad.
But they're sad. But it seems like they're selling an image, though. Like, you should be like me. No, I'm sorry. It doesn't seem like it. She actually says that.
Yeah, you'd be like me.
You should be like me. And so women look at the image. They see an attractive woman.
Okay, but so it's the same question. Why, if you went to a, like, watching a light show, does that make you want to pay money to go to that conference?
Me, but I think...
Yeah, so, but there are lots of men. So that's the... What is it about the American soul, evangelical soul, that is, like, being hit, like, a tuning fork with this kind of marketing?
I think that marketing doesn't really get secular people. I think it gets church people who grew up in, you know, 80s evangelicalism, who have been taught, and it's been just drummed into their head that old-timey church stuff is boring and stupid and no one should pay attention to it. And so the church to reach the world always has to be like the world. And so you don't want to go to a place that seems churchy. You want to go to a hip modern thing, because that seems to be more what the church is, should be. And so I think lots of Christians are attracted to the laser light show, because it seems like the cutting edge of mission and ministry. And
even though, like, that movie came out 2 years ago or right. whatever, and it's not really cutting edge.
And nobody, I don't know, look, I can't think.
I can't fathom a secular
many
person
secular
who would want to go there.
Would say, wow, I'd rather go to a church with laser light shows and smoking things than go to a rock concert.
In that way, I do think that the female version of this, the Rachel Hollis Jen Hatmaker, is probably more successfully reaching over the Christian barrier mm-hmm. into the secular world, because mm-hmm. this Rachel Hollis person, it doesn't seem to be.
And she doesn't mention Jesus.
Yeah.
You're right,
I mean,
she didn't.
But she's well represented on progressive evangelical mm-hmm. blogs and podcasts. Like, Jen Hatmaker and others have embraced her. So
right.
even if she is not a self-identifying Christian, like, she's being brought into the Christian realm. I have no idea who she is.
And the guys who could bridge this, I guess, are the men. For men, he's not even a Christian, but he's much smarter, much more intelligent, much more weighty, of course, is, you know, Jordan Peterson. I mean, if a Christian man wanted to have crossover appeal, he would probably have to do something like that on a demo level, though.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not left of left.
No,
so,
he'd have to be awoke.
Yeah.
A woke Christian man who doesn't talk about Jesus, but helps women get their lives together. So like a dumbed down Jordan Peterson.
Yeah,
for the
who's
world.
Who's on the left?
right.
But, I mean, maybe men aren't. Are men as followers? Is like, are they in need
I,
of
honestly,
following?
I mean,
like a, it's the patriarchy. They don't need to follow anyone.
Well, there is an element of it, like the laser light show, that men just take a life. That's, I think, some men do. Think, okay, that's cool. Explosions, motorcycles. But again, I don't know that people think it's cool in a church context.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool.
I mean, it's cool in a movie. I like watching movies with explosions and motorcycles and guns, and I like watching.
Yeah, but finding it replicated on a stage is so
lame.
It's
yeah,
not
that's
cool.
That's where it just doesn't. I don't want to see
okay,
a dramatic reinterpretation of Mission Impossible from the pulpit.
What's the remedy? Because we really need to move on with our lives. Like, should we pander to this, you know, this trend in event, or should we eschew it so much that, you know, we become completely obsolete as human people? I think I'm going to opt for the second.
This is where the liturgy of the church has been around for, you know, thousands of years and 2,000 years at least, and it hasn't been, you know, the liturgy of the Christian church was, you know, kind of taken from the liturgy of the synagogue with the addition of the gospel and the sacrament, and it's just stood the test of time, and you've.
So you think people will come back to their right?
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I don't care if they will or not. I do care, but I think God. That's not gonna. It's so old, so hallowed, so weathered that you're not gonna. That the gale force winds of
light shows and
yeah are gonna crash against that rock and, you know, dissipate. It's a new fad. You know, the fads of.
It's not new though. It's like 20 years old. That's what's so depressing.
Well, no, it's a fad, though. It's a, yeah. You know, there is, in historically speaking, it's the same thing as the, you know, the tent revivals.
Yeah.
You're gonna don't go to the churches. Go to the tent revival, because you can't have revival in the church. It's got to be outside the church, and we're gonna call people to get the Holy Spirit, because you can't get that by listening to the preacher on a Sunday morning in the context of word and sacrament. You can only get it, you know, in this tent.
Outside in this tent. This breezy tent.
With sawdust in the floor. And same thing. It's the same idea, different fad, same idea.
Yeah.
And
It's just taking an awfully long time to die.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad.
Well, so if we just keep doing what we're doing in a couple of generations,
yeah,
it'll die off. It'll be another thing that picks it up, but I mean...
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, though, I'm going to get on YouTube and develop a lifestyle brand.
I think we need to do more video casting.
Yeah,
because
my angry face is
if we
the
wash our faces off
antidote to this cheerful thing.
Well, we have like a bookshelf here in our attic now.
Yeah,
we should set up like chairs, two chairs, and videotape ourselves talking.
Looking angry.
Well, no, I mean we could
try to look cheerful.
Yeah, we could develop a brand.
We could grin. We could leer at the camera. In like a strange way.
And tell people how to handle their problems, like
I'll do my nails and when I'll get a necklace. It's gonna be great. Well, so anyway, until then, until we do that, have a great week.